Hello and welcome to episode 814 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Sunday, February 25th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Sunday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Behold, O Mother of God, at thy feet a miserable sinner, a slave of hell who has recourse to thee and trusts in thee. I do not deserve that thou shouldest even look at me, but I know that thou, having seen thy Son die for the salvation of sinners, hast the greatest desire to help them. I hear all call thee the refuge of sinners, the hope of those who are in despair, and the help of the abandoned. Thou art then my refuge, my hope, and my help. Thou hast to save me by thy intercession. Help me for the love of Jesus Christ. Extend thy hand to a miserable creature who has fallen and recommends himself to thee. I know that thy pleasure is to help a sinner to thy utmost. Help me, therefore, now that thou canst do so. By my sins I have lost divine grace, and with it my soul. I now place myself in thy hands. Tell me what I must do to recover the favor of my Lord, and I will immediately do it. He sends me to thee that thou mayest help me, and he wills that I should have recourse to thy mercy. Then not only the merits of thy Son, but also that thy intercession may help me to save my soul. To thee, then, I have recourse. Do thou, who prayest for so many others, pray also to Jesus for me. Ask him to pardon me, and he will forgive me. Tell him that thou desirest my salvation, and he will save me. Show how thou canst enrich those who trust in thee. Amen. Thus I hope, thus may it be. Today, friends, we return to fisheaters.com for Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas. This was published by Sheed and Ward in 1937. I highly recommend you check out the Fish Eaters website. A lot of great traditional Catholic material is found there. This is entitled The Second Week in Lent, Sunday. Subheading, God the Father delivered Christ to his passion. And St. Thomas begins with this. God spared not even his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all. Romans 8:32. Christ suffered willingly, moved by obedience to his Father. Wherefore, God the Father delivered Christ to his passion, and this in three ways. Number one, because the Father of his eternal will preordained the passion of Christ as the means whereby to free the human race. So it is said in Isaiah, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. And again, the Lord was pleased to bruise him in infirmity. Isaiah 53:10. So this was God's plan, friends, from all of eternity, that we would be freed from what we deserved, which is eternal damnation, that we have the possibility of being saved through what our Lord did, his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Remember the words of Dr. E. Michael Jones, when he was talking to a woman in South Bend, Indiana, had happened across the bridge over, I believe it's the St. Joseph River, a few years back, a woman who was going to kill herself. And he told her, God has a plan for your life. And he had related this story, saying, from all eternity, said, the events of my life and hers were leading us to that point. God knew that I would be there, that she would be there. Everything is laid out by God well in advance. He is in the eternal now. He sees past, present, and future all at once. We are in time, as it were, because we're finite. He's infinite. And Professor Jones talks about eventually talking this woman out of jumping off the bridge, and the police came and brought her back, and I assume she got some sort of psychiatric counseling and hope and pray she's doing well now. But those words are very important. God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan for all of us. A universal will that we be saved, that we be with him in heaven for all eternity. That's what Jesus came to do. Righteous souls were in the limbo of the fathers before this took place. Not hell, properly speaking, because there's no escape from hell. If you die in a state of unrepentant mortal sin, you lose eternal salvation and you're with the demons for all eternity. And we don't want that for anyone. But before our Lord came, even the righteous, like Moses, were in this limbo of the fathers, this state where they couldn't be in heaven because there's this chasm because of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve separating us from God. There's this unbridgeable gap until our Lord Jesus Christ, as the God-man, as Dr. Hahn said, pays that debt he didn't owe because we owe a debt we couldn't pay. He is the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for sin. And God had that planned. Our Heavenly Father had that plan from all eternity, that Jesus would be the one to free the human race. No small thing, the greatest thing that has ever happened for us, the opportunity, if we repent and believe in the gospel, if we turn from our wicked ways and come to the Lord, we have the possibility of being saved by his grace, by what he did for us in his passion, his death, and his resurrection. St. Thomas goes on in number two. By saying, because he inspired our Lord with the willingness to suffer for us, pouring into his soul the love which produced the will to suffer. Once the prophet goes on to say, he was offered because it was his own will. Isaiah 53:7. This wasn't something that Jesus was forced to do against his will by our Heavenly Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Most Holy Trinity, are always on the same page, of course, in everything that they do. Three in one. They're always acting together. He did this out of pure love for us. He is pure love. He wasn't coerced. It wasn't like he didn't know who he was or what the plan was ahead of time. No, he knew what would take place. He's God. And everything that he did, all of his actions while he was walking this earth, was geared toward, was set up to the manner in which he would die to free us from our sins. Number three, because he did not protect our Lord from the passion, but exposed him to his persecutors, whence we read in St. Matthew's gospel, that as he hung on the cross, Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's in Matthew 27:46. For God the Father, that is to say, had left him at the mercy of his torturers. To hand over an innocent man to suffering and to death against his will, compelling him to die as it were, would indeed be cruel and wicked. But it was not in this way that God the Father handed over Christ. He handed over Christ by inspiring him with the will to suffer for us. By so doing, the severity of God is made clear to us, that no sin is forgiven without punishment undergone, which St. Paul again teaches when he says, God spared not his own son. Let's reflect on that for a moment. God spared not his own son. It shows us how evil sin is. How wicked sin is, that God spares not his son. And also, once again, that the Lord does this willingly. He's not coerced into this. He's inspired with the will to suffer for us. Us weak, miserable creatures. He becomes one of us in all things but sin in order to destroy sin, doing what only he could do for us. The more we reflect on this, and the more we ask the Lord for the grace to ponder this, we should just be filled with an immense sense of awe and of reverence and of gratitude. Talk about having an attitude of gratitude. How could we ever be grateful enough for what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us in the humiliating and painful way he was tortured and suffered for every sin that everyone had ever committed up to that point or would ever commit in the history of the world? It's astonishing how much God loves us. To continue, St. Thomas says, at the same time, God's good-heartedness is shown in the fact that whereas man could not, no matter what his punishment, sufficiently make satisfaction, God has given man someone who can make that satisfaction for him, which is what St. Paul means by he delivered him up for us all. And again, when he says, God hath proposed Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, Romans 3:25. The same activity in a good man and in a bad man is differently judged inasmuch as the root from which it proceeds is different. The Father, for example, delivered over Christ, and Christ delivered himself, and this from love, and therefore they are praised. Judas delivered him from love of gain, the Jews from hatred, Pilate from the worldly fear with which he feared Caesar, and these are rightly regarded with horror. Of course, St. Thomas ends with a great point here. What are our motivations for doing what we want to do? When we give alms to the poor, are we like the Pharisees who want to be seen like others? Ooh, look how charitable this person is. Look at how much wealth they have. Look at how much they're giving. But our Lord commends the widow's mite. The widow forgiving her little bit, but it was all that she had. And she did it with a heart filled with love. St. Teresa of Calcutta and St. Therese of Lisieux talk about doing little things with great love. That should be our attitude. Because we're not all fabulously wealthy. If you are, God bless you. But having a lot of material things can be problematic in and of itself. We tend to become attached to things the more we have. Not always. We always have to ask the Lord for whatever we're given to realize that it's all his, all of our time, talent, and treasure, and to be detached from it and to use it to glorify him. But we always have to be asking ourselves, what is our attitude? What is our disposition towards God and towards others? Are we doing what we do in life, no matter what it is, out of love for Jesus Christ and out of love for our neighbor? Or are we doing it to be seen by others or in the pursuit of wealth, pleasure, power, fame? Are we double-minded? We can't have any double-mindedness. There's a Catholic apologist named Peter Herbeck affiliated with Renewal Ministries saying we can't be double-minded. We have to have a singular focus on loving God and loving our neighbor. And that in and of itself is the right thing to do. Love God and love your neighbor. Because it's right, it's just, it's what we're meant to do. and not for any other purpose, not for any ulterior motive. Let's ask God for the grace to do that. And when we have to suffer in life, to offer it up, to unite it to his cross, and to ask him to carry our cross with us. Because in comparison to what he did for us, what we go through in life is nothing. And he will always give us the grace to carry our crosses. But we have to ask him. And like Dr. Marshall says, he's always listening. And he loves us more than we can possibly fathom. Let's conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, that of her family, we know she's a comprehensive genius. She's very skilled in regards to mathematics. She knows foreign languages. She's a poet. She's a composer. She has so many gifts and abilities. How many people out there are like her, who have their own unique gifts and talents that they want to share with the world, that they want to share with their families, but they can't? They can't even engage in basic conversations. You get people getting to the age of 18, 19, 20, and beyond. Still, in the year 2024, their families have to guess as to what their wants and needs are. Communication is a human right. Life should not be that way. And what RPM is doing is taking non-speakers from this world of silence, getting them out of that prison of being unable to communicate into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. Just like the deaf, when they broke through to communication with sign language or in terms of being able to read Braille, being a magnificent breakthrough for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this information far and wide. And may God richly bless you for doing so. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.